Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
Are you crying? Oh. Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, sometimes there is. Sometimes there is. It's 8:33, and welcome to Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, welcoming in Charlie Brennan.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Debbie.
Amy Marks-Kors.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Mark Reardon.
Hey, good morning.
I don't think any of us have shed tears yet, but it's kind of more of a... All right, the first National League Championship game played in Washington, D.C., not going so well for the Cardinals. They've been outscored so far in this series 13-2. Now, it's not impossible, Charlie.
Right.
Nothing's impossible, right? I mean, it's...
Didn't the Red Sox come back 3 down in 2004?
They did. They did. Is the series over? What do you think?
Pretty much. I mean, unless we get those... Who are the nice religious women who sometimes... The Pink Sisters? Is that what they're called? Whatever.
The Little Sisters of the Poor?
Let's get them all praying right now of all backgrounds and faiths and denominations, and let's send a message to the heavens. But other than that, it looks like we're cooked, and I don't know, 120 days until pitchers and catchers report.
Is there a patron saint of offense? Or like a patron
Apparently
saint of...
not.
Yeah, well, right. You would think the Cardinals would know, or St. Louis would know. If there is a patron saint of hitting or offense, maybe we should ask them for a little bit of help. I hate to be a Debbie Downer. I mean, usually...
Do you know that I hate that phrase?
I can't imagine why.
I really do.
Negative Nancy.
There you go.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah,
sorry, Nancy.
Or just Mark.
I hate to be...
Sorry, buddy, you owe me one.
No, I'll take that. That's good.
Yeah,
touché.
No, I hate to be a Mark Reardon, but I don't feel great. But the good news is I'm wrong so often. I'm always wrong.
Well, I'm rarely wrong, Amy, but let me just say this. I am not going to be a Mark Reardon this morning. Look, I think if we're being honest, this was a team that's had hitting problems all year long. So this isn't exactly shocking. Let's remember a few things. I'm going to channel my inner Tom Ackerman because he is Mr. Positivity.
Not today.
91. Well, look, the series is probably over. Yeah. But we had 91 wins. We won the division. That was a goal. We won the division series, which I think if we're all being honest, a lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. We have the best defensive team after the worst defensive team. We got these guys who can steal bases. Tommy Edman, Jack Flaherty is an amazing, probably a Cy Young Award winner, maybe for years to come. So, yeah, this is not ending well, okay? But this was a very, very big season to move forward, and I think at a certain point, you got to look to that. Look, I turned the game off last night. I was sick to my stomach. it's not fun to watch, but this team has a lot to be proud of.
Perhaps it was a case that there were only so many hits that the Cardinals could get in the postseason, and they blew them all in Atlanta.
Yes. That might be it, actually. Oh, yeah. I want to mention one thing, too, because Mike Claiborne texted me last night, and he said that he met, I'm guessing they came up to the booth, I have not talked to him yet, Justices Kavanaugh and Sotomayor. I asked him, he has not answered, if he also played quarters with Squee. But no confirmation yet.
You know, the question is, if the Nationals do get to the World Series, does the president show up? And if so, is he going to get booed like crazy? Probably. That's... What's going to happen then? Because typically speaking, the president should show up at one of these, don't you think?
I don't think he will.
No.
Well, I don't think he would throw the first pitch, that's for sure. I don't think he would.
And then what about tonight? You got the Democrats debating. Are you going to watch the Cardinals or the Dems? I think I might watch the Dems.
Debbie.
It's like two dumpster fires competing against each other.
I would pay money, though, to see Trump throw out a first pitch. I'd do pay-per-view on that.
Yeah.
I think the pressure's on ever since GW, you know, did such a great job. I don't think that there's any way President Trump could get it over the plate
like that.
The
pressure that he had after September 11th, and he tells an incredible story that he was talking to Derek Jeter before he threw the first pitch and said, "Do you have any advice?" And Derek Jeter just looked at him and said, "Don't throw it in the dirt." That was it.
All right. Well, one more quick sports thing before we head out. We do have our very first official St. Louis Battlehawks player. So the XFL, of course, is going to kick off in just a few months, really. And we have a quarterback who is Jordan Ta'amu, who I'm trying to remember now.
Ole Miss.
Oh, is that? Yeah, that's what it is. Very good. Thank you. I was trying to remember who Tom said he played for. Are you going to get a Ta'amu jersey, Amy? Got your tickets yet?
Come on.
Probably not. You know, I'm not a big jersey person, but I do like the name Ta'amu because I love puns, and I feel like you could work the name into a lot of sentences. So that's what I'm focused on right now is, you know, what sentence can I make with the name? Just like Melina and Yachty, you know, they make so many puns, like, you're going to run on Melina, Yachty, your mind, that type of thing. So I like working the athlete's name into a sentence.
If you want a new jersey, go to Hoboken.
Any thoughts on Ta'amu signing with the Battlehawks, Mark, before we go?
No, I mean, I think the whole thing is kind of a joke. I'm a huge NFL guy. I love football, but have no interest in this whatsoever.
I love it, and go Battlehawks. Yeah. The first Sunday after the Super Bowl in February, downtown St. Louis. See you there, folks.
All right, well, we did say, you know, when we were talking about the Cardinals, they still have a chance. It's not impossible, nothing impossible, but that brings us to our next topic when we come back after traffic and weather together.
It's Game 4 of the National League Championship Series tonight. The Cardinals, the Nationals. First pitch, 7:05. Mike Shannon, John Rooney, and Ricky Horton bring you all the action. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It's tricky. It's a tricky time, but I think we don't get, you know, in St. Louis, we don't give up on our sports teams, even though it really looks dire. We don't give up on the Arch grounds getting done, even though that came in quite a bit more and several years later. Or Ballpark Village took a long time because the Great Recession hit.
It's 8:43. That is Joe Edwards of Blueberry Hill, responsible for so much of the development along the Del Mar Loop, and also the visionary behind the Loop Trolley. As you heard him say, he has not lost the faith, although we'll see what happens today on the St. Louis County Council. Doesn't look like a bill to get more money for the trolley's operation is going to go anywhere. He says what has hurt the trolley is the late delivery of the third trolley car. That, he says, hurt ridership, which in turn scared away corporate sponsors. Looking forward, he believes steady ridership, corporate sponsors, and rising revenue from the transportation tax district will make the trolley a success. Mark Reardon, do you have the same faith in the trolley as Joe Edwards?
Look, I like Joe. I love what he's done for U City. I mentioned this yesterday. I think a lot of us, I know I go to the pageant all the time and the Duck Room and the other venues down there, the Tivoli, certainly. This is just a Hall of Fame level boondoggle, and I don't know where to go from here. I think the only way you can save this thing right now is by getting private donors to come in, and we've seen a lot of generosity from folks in St. Louis. It's a tourist attraction, and I guess it's kind of cool. I think a lot of these things might be great if we can wave a magic wand and just have them appear without tax dollar money. But this is it's a big waste of money. I think, Charlie, a lot of us knew this from the very beginning, and Joe Edwards' baby, so he loves it. He's going to try to save it. I think it's beyond saving at this point.
Charlie?
Well, I never thought that it served a purpose that people needed, going from the History Museum to the Loop. Think about that. You're going to the Forest Park. Now you want to get to the Loop. If you want to do it inexpensively and quickly, you probably take your car.
Uber.
There's a lot of free parking at the Loop, 800 spaces. And then let's say you get out of the pageant in the evening. Do you want to go to the History Museum? Well, no, it's closed and Forest Park is dark. So it didn't make too much sense to me. Nonetheless, now that we're in it, we're in it. And we spent $33.9 million federal dollars. Honestly, if we mothball the thing, I think we owe Uncle Sam, you know, $34 million.
There once was a loop with a trolley. Joe Edwards thought it would be jolly, but nobody rides it. We only deride it. It will forever be known as our folly.
My goodness. Amy marks scores.
Pretty good limerick.
I wrote it while Mark was talking, so I don't know what he said.
Not unusual.
I was thinking about the woman from Nantucket.
I did hear you say yesterday, Charlie, something that I thought was an excellent point, that it needs a marketing campaign. Because, as I was saying to Amy during the commercial break, I've done a million stories on the Loop Trolley, and I am immersed in news every day, and I don't know how to ride the trolley. Like, I don't know how to get on it. I don't know how to get a ticket. I don't know when it runs. Right. And if I don't know, and I am, like, immersed in the news every day, how is somebody who doesn't pay that much attention ever going to know how to get on this thing?
Right, you are. So the promotions have been terrible, and the service has been on and off, and apparently these things have broken down. I never knew why they had to go with the antique trolleys, you know, the ones that look like they ran in 1930s. Some cities have more modern ones, and they look a little sleeker, more interesting to me anyway. I guess the nostalgia buffs, don't care about this one because they're not riding it. You know, when we found out the ticket sales between November and May were only $22,000, we knew there was a problem. So maybe there has to be some big public service campaign for it, but even still, think about it. Why would you use it to get from the pageant to Blueberry Hill? You can just walk that pretty easily.
I did some rough math, and this trolley cost about $4,400 a foot, or $23,181,818 a mile.
Yeah, we can not only buy cars for the people who need rides, we could probably buy Escalades and just, send them, buy a handful of Escalades, give people rides, be cheaper than that.
All right, well, we'll have more on this story later this afternoon or tomorrow when we figure out exactly what the county council is going to do with this proposal for spending more county taxpayer dollars. We'll be back. We've got to talk turkey on overtime. It's 8:47.
In case you'd like to hear more.
There's more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Oh, yeah, a little Duran Duran to start round three of OT on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:51. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Markscores, Mark Reardon, and Charlie Brennan. President Trump is now retaliating for Turkey's incursion into Syria, saying he increased tariffs on imports of Turkish steel to 50% and would immediately halt negotiations on a $100 billion trade deal. First of all, is this a surprise that what Turkey is doing? And will the sanctions stop them?
I doubt it. You know, the sanctions seem to be levied against these countries for a couple of months, and then we pull them back, and who knows what. You know, according to the acting Secretary of Defense on Sunday's Chris Wallace program, he said that Erdogan told Trump on a phone call he was going in regardless of whether our troops were there or not. And that's why the president kind of pulled out of the way, which is kind of a shifting narrative from what we heard earlier and what we're hearing now from Vice President Pence. It turns out this is not our best moment in foreign policy history for the United States, for sure. I think they should have taken the arms away from the YPG like they were supposed to after they had been given them by President Obama. And then there should have, if it was just going to happen that Turkey was going to go in there, and I can understand why they would if they have terrorists on their border and they don't want terrorists starting a state on their border, then there should have been a major notice, like 2, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, to those in the way. But the way this happened, kind of like overnight on a whim by the president, it just didn't look good at all. And it isn't good. It doesn't look good, and it's not good.
Yeah, the situation is, it's messy and it's difficult to make sense of it. At the end of the day, you've got strategic allies in Turkey and then your Kurdish allies who fought alongside American special forces and along with American air power against ISIS. So you've got the Kurds on one side, you've got Turkey on the other side. They're strategic alliances. It's not necessarily that they're both good faith actors and you're aligned in your values. These are just strategic military alliances. Now the U.S. is stuck in the middle. The way Trump on a whim pulled the troops out of key strategic areas along the border in Syria, and we're talking the initial pullout of troops was only about 100 troops. It was an effective green light for Turkey to launch its attack. And in fact, Erdogan has an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today talking about how Turkey is stepping up where others have failed to act. So reading this piece from Erdogan, it doesn't look like economic sanctions are going to stop him from what they are calling Operation Peace Spring.
All right. Before we run out of time, we're going to go to Mark Reardon and change topics here, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced its 2020 finalists. Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty eclectic group, from jam bands to glam rockers, hip hop royalty. We've got 9 of 16 nominees on the ballot for the first time, including the Dave Matthews Band, the Doobie Brothers, Motorhead, the Notorious B.I.G., Pat Benatar, Soundgarden, T-Rex, Thin Lizzy, and Whitney Houston. Thumbs up or down on the 2020 class, and who would you put in there, Mark?
Well, I think, you know, the requirements for the, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are always a little confusing to me. Look, I think the obvious ones here, just based on my gut, Todd Rundgren and the Doobie Brothers, probably Depeche Mode as well. I think Dave Matthews belongs. Some of these others might belong, but maybe not so soon. It's just, to me, a lot of the Whitney Houston, great pop artist, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think people have debated every year. When rappers get in, people are like, that's not rock and roll. So maybe they need to define themselves a little better.
Oh, that's interesting that rappers are in. If rappers are in, then Whitney Houston should be in.
The Beastie Boys are in.
Yeah.
Where's Firefall?
They're nowhere.
Charlie, just remember I love you.
And it'll be all right.
It'll be all right. Okay? And I can't remember, by the way, what happened like 30 minutes ago, but I can hearken back to 1982 when I used to play that song over and over and over again.
So, yeah, we'll see. Whitney Houston, of course, is appealing to a whole new generation, because one of these many DJs who pop radio is nothing but DJs now with guest singers, and they've remixed Steve Winwood song with Whitney Houston. So now my kids think, you know, Whitney Houston is the bomb. I'm like, they said, oh, she's got a new song. I'm like, well, not really, because she's dead.
Talk about Debbie Downer.
Wah, wah. It is, no, I'm sorry. She was a wonderful singer, and the documentary on her life is definitely worth watching.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.